This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, and this is episode 687 of the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. Thanks for tuning in. As expected, last week's sleeper picks weren't super strong. I mentioned that heading into the week, and it came to fruition. Jared Goff was the best quarterback on the week, though, and Jacoby Brissett was fine, too. And the Giants were the number two defense last week as well, so the streaming picks weren't that bad. Aside from Marcus Mariota, that is. But a lot of guys became irrelevant because of players coming back from injury, like Greg Dortch, and Zay Jones didn't even play. Richie James did nothing. And we didn't get anything out of the deep running back plays either. It was just kind of a weird week all around because there weren't many players to actually choose from. But we should be in better shape here in week 5. Now before we get into the sleepers this week, I wanted to send a reminder that Twisted Tea and FanDuel have joined forces to bring you a one-of-a-kind contest series that gives you a chance to compete for your share of thousands of dollars in site credit. Introducing Twisted Tea's College Football Picks, a sports betting focused contest series that's entirely free to play. The contest is simple. Each college football game will be assigned money line, spread, and total markets with assigned points to each market. All you have to do is make 6 selections based on those 3 markets and earn points for each correct selection you made. If at the end of the day your score ranks among the best in the contest, you'll be eligible for your share of site credit. Head over to FanDuel.com/TwistedTeePicks and make your picks. And remember, please drink responsibly. So the way this sleepers episode typically works is that I give you a handful of players rostered in 25 to 50% of Yahoo leagues, then players rostered in 10 to 25%, and then players rostered in fewer than 10%. There's been 3 buckets of players traditionally. I'm realizing that week in and week out, those top 2 groupings don't always have enough reasonable players to choose from. Sometimes there's plenty of them in that 25 to 50 group, but sometimes there's not. And sometimes there's none in that 10 to 25 group. So I'm going to switch things up moving forward starting this week. We're going to just go with sleepers and deep sleepers. 2 groups. One group is rostered in 10 to 50% of Yahoo leagues. The other one, the deep sleepers, they're rostered in fewer than 10%. So nothing's going to change with the number of players that I'm talking about. The type of player I mention won't be changing. But I think this is a much more straightforward way to present the information and give you the best possible analysis. So with that being said, let's look at a handful of players you could start who are rostered in fewer than half of Yahoo leagues, but more than 10% of them. Let's look at regular sleepers. First off is my favorite quarterback streamer this week, Jameis Winston. And this is obviously if he plays. At the time of this recording, I don't really know if he's going to go or not. I talked about Winston on the 15 transactions episode, though, and if he does go, he gets a Seattle defense that ranks as the 3rd best matchup in adjusted points allowed to quarterbacks this year. And they've been bad at giving up big plays. Only 2 teams have allowed more 15-plus air yard completions, and Seattle ranks 1st in deep ball rate allowed. That sounds like a good match for Jameis Winston and Chris Olave, doesn't it? Let's go to the wide receiver position next, and let's talk about Michael Gallup. It feels like Gallup should not be rostered in fewer than 50% of Yahoo leagues. He returned this past week, and in his return, he ran the 2nd most routes on Dallas and only 5 fewer than CeeDee Lamb. That resulted in 2 catches and a touchdown. We should probably expect his participation to rise each week as he gets acclimated to the game again. And this week, he gets a Rams defense that ranks 1st in adjusted points allowed to wide receivers on the season. The Rams also rank 1st in adjusted target share allowed, meaning teams are using their wide receivers at a higher rate against the Rams than an average opponent. Now, I mentioned the Bills wide receivers in the 15 transactions show this week. Let's go back to them. If Isaiah McKenzie goes this week, he's dealing with a concussion. I love him. Jamison Crowder is out, and McKenzie now has a shot to be the full-time slot guy for Buffalo. That's obviously a huge deal because McKenzie has still seen about a 17% target share for Buffalo over his last 2 games, despite not being a full-time player. The Bills are huge favorites against the Steelers. They have a huge implied team total. And Pittsburgh's a top 10 team in slot yards allowed this year. They've been a team that's been bad against slot guys for years under Mike Tomlin. And if McKenzie can't go, here's a deep sleeper for you, Khalil Shakir. The rookie would likely take on that role. And like I mentioned in the 15 transactions episode, my prospect model loved Khalil Shakir. Matt Collins has averaged a target share per game of 20% over his last 3 contests. Hunter Renfrow's been out with a concussion, and maybe he goes this week, but Hollins will remain playing opposite of Davante Adams. Renfro's their slot guy. And the Raiders are 7.5-point dogs against the Chiefs this week. That's according to FanDuel Sportsbook. That could force more throws from Derek Carr, and it's against a team that ranks in the top half of the league in adjusted target share allowed and points allowed to wide receivers. If Renfro doesn't go, Hollins gets a little bit of a bump. If he does go, Hollins is still a deep sleeper. And then I'm going to go back to Zay Jones this week. He was out in week 4, but up until that point in time, he had seen a 22% target share in Jacksonville's offense. Now the Jags have an easier matchup against Houston, a team that ranks 15th in adjusted points allowed to wide receivers. They should be able to move the ball, and if Jones maintains that 22% share, he should be fine as a wide receiver 4, maybe even a flex option this week. He did get some work in on Wednesday, which is a good sign. Now on to running backs. Like I say each week, most running backs that are seeing work are already rostered in fantasy football. Sometimes you've got to play the game script game. And that's what we're going to do with a lot of the guys this week, starting with James Cook. Like I just talked about, the Bills are big favorites over the Steelers this week. The last time we saw a sincere blowout from Buffalo, James Cook got some run. He had 11 carries against Tennessee in week 2. Now, Devin Singletary has dominated that backfield of late, but there's also just a chance that they want to get Cook a little bit more involved in general. This is definitely a desperation-type play, but if this game favors Buffalo like the spread suggests, then maybe we see a little bit of James Cook. I'm expecting Mike Boone to be the number 2 back for Denver this week, despite them signing Latavius Murray. Longer term, maybe that changes, but it's a short week and Boone got plenty of run in week 4. This week, the Broncos rank in the top half of the league in implied team total. I'd much rather have Melvin Gordon, there's no doubt about it, but Boone could work as another desperation play. And then two more running backs were definitely game script dependent. The first one's Rashad White. We saw White with a season-high 38% snap share in week 4, and he saw a lot of work through the air, catching all 5 of his targets for 50 yards. He's a really good receiving back. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see him get some late game action if the Buccaneers do get ahead of the Falcons this week. And that's very reasonable and possible because the Bucs are 8.5-point favorites. Rashad White, by the way, in my prospect model, his top comp was David Johnson. He's a good player. He should at least be rostered right now, like I talked about on the 15 Transaction Show. And then the same logic holds for someone like Isaiah Pacheco. He saw a 21% snap share this past week, but he looked really good on his 11 rush attempts. The Chiefs get the Raiders in week 5, and Vegas has been pretty miserable against the pass. They've allowed the 3rd highest net yards per attempt rate in football. So Patrick Mahomes should have a good day. And if the Chiefs get out to a lead, Pacheco and his angry running could close things out. Again, none of those running backs are obvious must-start players. It's never going to be possible for that to be the case. But if game script goes their way, they could see more work than projected. And then the final normal sleeper to mention, Logan Thomas. The Commanders face the Titans this week, and Tennessee is 5th in adjusted tight end fantasy points allowed this year, and they're 7th in adjusted target share allowed to tight ends. To put that another way, teams are using their tight ends more than normal against Washington this year. Logan Thomas now has a 12% target share on the season, but he's hit about a 15% target share in 2 of his 4 games. Jahan Dotson is also banged up, and that has a chance to increase Thomas's route participation this week. And that's really a big deal because Thomas ranks outside the top 20 at tight end in route participation. So I think he's a decent enough streamer. Now we're on to the sleepers who are rostered in fewer than 10% of Yahoo leagues, guys that no one cares about, except for me, I care. Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater's going to start for Miami this week against a Jets defense that ranks 9th in adjusted net yards per attempt allowed this year. Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are 2 of the best weapons a backup quarterback can ask for because they can make plays on their own. So Teddy just has to be a distributor. That's what we've seen from Teddy Bridgewater throughout his career. He should be able to do that. And Miami's implied team total of 23.5 isn't that bad either. Now moving on to wide receiver, I already mentioned Khalil Shakir, but he should get some run if Isaiah McKenzie's out. So keep an eye on him. But also keep an eye on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He's likely to play the perimeter with Treylon Burks out. And Washington's one of the best matchups for wide receivers this year, especially perimeter guys. The Commanders have actually been average to above average against the slot this year. But Westbrook-Ikhine could make some noise given he's going to be a full-time starter. The Titans actually only have 4 healthy wide receivers right now. It's kind of a mess there. And as much as I like Kyle Phillips, especially long-term, he's a slot guy. He's not the direct replacement for Treylon Burks. So I don't mind Nick Westbrook-Ikhine as a deep play. Donovan Peoples-Jones continues to run as Cleveland's number two wideout, by a wide margin too. He ran 20 more routes last week than David Bell. The Browns get the Chargers this week, and LA's a top five matchup for wideouts according to adjusted fantasy points allowed. And DPJ has two games now this season with a target share north of 25%. In a game that could see the Browns throwing a little bit more than usual, I think he makes sense as a deep sleeper. Now, Jonathan Taylor's out for the Colts. Nyheim Hines is the guy that you would want to play in that backfield, but he's rostered in over 60% of leagues. But here's the thing. Hines has hit double-digit carries in just four career games. I'm sure he gets a spike this week, but we can't assume he's going to be the workhorse. That's not what Nyheim Hines does. The Colts are probably going to use backup Deion Jackson and Philip Lindsay in that game. Now, it's a revenge game for Philip Lindsay, and no, I don't actually care about that. But Jackson's kind of intriguing. He's a bigger-bodied guy who profiles most as an early down back on that team without Jonathan Taylor. And Denver's not the toughest matchup in the world. He's more of a special teamer, and there's plenty of ambiguity with that situation. But he at least deserves a shout this week. Now, last week, Adam Trautman played more snaps than Juwan Johnson for the first time all season. Johnson still ran more routes. That's what's more important. But it's still something to note, because I think Johnson is in play as a deep tight end streamer this week. Because Seattle is terrible against tight ends. Even Kyle Pitts did well against Seattle. And we saw what TJ Hockenson did last week. They now rank first in both adjusted fantasy points allowed and target share allowed to tight ends this year. So Juwan Johnson, worth a dart. And then the last play this week is an even deeper play than Juwan Johnson. It's OJ Howard. Yes, OJ Howard. Pharaoh Brown was cut by the Texans this week after Brown missed last week's game with a shoulder injury. Howard ended up running the most routes at tight end for Houston by a pretty decent margin, and he came away with a 14% target share. The Texans could be in a negative game script against Jacksonville this week. That could force more throws. Now, unfortunately, Jacksonville hasn't been a good opponent for tight ends this year, but I think Howard's usage could be better than expected in week 5. I just hope that you don't have to rely on OJ Howard. Now, as for streaming defenses, you've got to love Minnesota against Chicago, considering every team is ranked in the top 8 in defensive scoring against the Bears this year since that week 1 game in the pouring rain. I also like Miami, as I discussed on the 15 transactions episode, and then the final one is Tennessee. The Commanders are the 4th best matchup for opposing defenses in adjusted fantasy points allowed this year, and they've been getting smoked by opposing fronts over their last 3 games. They've allowed 13 quarterback hits per game to go along with 16 total sacks. Now, they face some tough matchups, yes, but it's still a very good sign for the Tennessee Titans defense. That's it for today's show, though. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you've subscribed to the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at LateRoundQB. Remember to go check out LateRound.com. Otherwise, we got one more show this week, the mailbag episode. That'll drop tomorrow. I'll talk to you then.